Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Real Spoilers, powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
Real Spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 308. I don't have a fancy name for this one.
Good scenes in bad movies.
Yeah.
That's about it.
You'd like to come up with something better. Dance something up. Like deep fried taco. Like, you know.
Oh,
like,
that's
you
true.
Know,
yeah.
We don't have a...
like shiny turd.
I mean...
turd polishers.
I could go with turd polishers.
I was, yeah, that.
Polished turd?
Yeah, all I could come up with is, like, blowjob from a crazy chick. Like, other, it's horrible, except for that one
that
moment.
One, that, where it's spectacular.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then back to horrible.
Back to horrible. Then you're stuck, yeah. And then you're just there for the rest of the movie.
But that seems like, one, it's not catchy.
No, it's not. No.
It's, you know.
It may not catch on.
You will certainly remember it.
Yeah.
So good scenes and bad movies.
Crazy girl blowjobs.
Right. Good scenes and bad movies. And go.
So and I don't know about your guys, but like not I wouldn't say all of mine are necessarily bad movies, but they're disappointing movies.
Mine is one of mine is a disappointing movie.
Yeah.
One of mine is a bad movie.
Yeah, and there's certainly scenes where it's like you just kind of like Where did this moment of brilliance come from?
Yes, that's
because
exactly
right. You didn't do it for the other hour and 50 minutes.
Yeah. You're just oh.
I think whether or not one of my picks is a good or bad movie depends on how Joe is feeling this week.
Sure. Well, I don't know, because Monster Squad didn't have a moment of brilliance.
You're right. It was all brilliant. There was no need for
that. Because it was all brilliant.
That would be an extended moment.
That's why I couldn't choose that film. But at first, I was going to, when I was initially thinking about it, I'm like, I am going to find a good scene in Monster Squad and bring that up.
I couldn't.
Yeah,
because we talk about it again.
A futile effort.
Yeah. So
we just talk about the whole movie all over again.
Oh, please, dear God, no. So we haven't actually introduced ourselves, so perhaps we should do that.
This is Tom. This is Joe.
This is Kevin.
And this is Tom, as you just heard. So so anyway, who would like to go first?
I guess I'll go first.
Okay.
So this was tough. Like, I've seen some bad movies in my time.
And you like bad movies.
And I love bad movies.
Yeah.
Within reason. Like, there's a line in the sand that must be drawn between, like, oh, that was a lot of fun. Between
I
like,
could eat a peach for hours.
That's a bad movie.
That is
not
that movie.
That does not make the scene. So I was thinking about going back to our discussion last week about Tango and Cash and Stallone, and I was like, there has to be something. And I remembered Rocky V, right? Like, Rocky V is an awful... It's
awful.
Weird. It's not, like, Creed is Rocky V. Like, it's the same idea.
Yeah.
It's just so much...
It's just done right.
Yeah. It's the exact same story, right? Rocky's retired.
Tommy Gunn.
Yeah. So, and the whole premise of that movie is Rocky has... schlub Rocky, like he's hobo Rocky at this point, like he's living back in Philly in a tiny apartment. I'm trying to think if Talia Shire was in, because she's not in Rocky Balboa, but she is in Rocky V.
Okay, I think that sounds right.
I think that's right, almost, because she dies of her character dies of cancer in between Rocky V,
right?
Because
you see this, you see her tombstone,
right? Mm-hmm. He does. She died of the lady cancer. That's a line from Rocky Balboa. I'm not making that up.
What?
That's the he. She died of the lady cancer. Yeah.
Huh.
Go. Yeah.
Okay. No, I will not.
That's a good Rocky Balboa is a good movie.
I know you guys think that. I didn't care for
it. Rocky Balboa is a
lot. I liked it.
It's Rocky. Yeah.
It's not as. It's not like Creed.
No,
but it, but.
It was a good way to tie the finish off the Rocky story.
It was a very it was a very effective movie.
Yes,
I may have to go back and watch it. When I saw it the first time, and I rented it on DVD at the time, I never saw it in theaters. But I know I did not care for it. But sometimes,
if you ever see it on Showtime, don't.
Not good on Showtime.
Well, here's the deal. Like, and I might have my cable channels mixed up. Oh. But like in the final scene, the movie, the fight's supposed to be like on. I think it's supposed to be on HBO, but Showtime got the rights to the film.
Yeah. No way.
So they have all these weird edits.
Really?
To remove HBO stuff.
That's funny. I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's kind of weird to watch. Yeah.
That is very weird. But so the whole movie is he's...
Is The Godfather 3. I've always said this. Rocky 5 is The Godfather 3.
Yeah.
No.
I would watch Rocky 5 over Godfather 3.
I have to interject. Godfather 3 is not that bad of a movie.
I feel like I haven't seen it in so long. I just assume it's a bad
movie. But it's
just
the new guy comes in.
It's
he tries
so
to take
weird,
over.
Though, right? It's very weird.
I mean,
am I wrong?
I mean, its biggest problem is that it's not one of the greatest movies of all time.
That's fair.
Like, you know, like Godfather 1 and 2 are a 1-2 punch of just cinematic masterpieces. And Godfather 3 is a pretty good movie. And so
who did Coppola direct it?
Yeah, no, they
all
had everybody.
Three,
they had all hands on deck, man. They did it right, you know.
Yeah,
it's just they didn't stick the landing.
But there's
an
incest angle, right?
I never liked that movie.
Like, that's always the weirdest part about that movie is Sonny's bastard kid is trying to bang Michael's cis daughter.
Right.
That's weird. That's a weird thing to put in a movie.
I mean. Okay.
Yeah. Like that's.
I mean, isn't Game of Thrones time here, right? Things are different.
That's tonight.
Well, I mean, first off, you can marry your cousin.
That's
like,
true.
That's not, you know, and
they're first cousins though. You can't do that.
Not first cousins. That's
you can't marry your first
one.
Cousin.
It's like second cousin. You can, I think.
And they're first cousins.
Now, folks, we're in Missouri, but we do not endorse this. Just to be clear.
Yeah. No, we don't endorse. I mean,
we live in St. Louis.
You
in
love
the
who you
city.
Love.
Yeah. So this is from the website cousincouples.com.
Oh, Christ's sake.
Now, granted, they probably have an axe to grind, but they say cousin couples have only a slightly higher incident of birth defects than non-related couples. I think it's really only an issue. I'm not lobbying for cousins to marry each other.
Your argument here may not be the one that you want.
But I think the big issue is if your family already has some huge genetic
malady
that you could pass on, then you don't want to, you know what I mean? But if everybody's healthy, it's not statistically. Now, if it happens long enough,
right,
then yeah, it's going to be a problem.
When that family tree stops branching off.
Yeah. And also, he's a half cousin.
What do you mean?
Well, because he's a bastard child. Well, I guess
he'd still be a cousin.
Yeah, he'd still be a cousin.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I would like to say that aside from any kind of defects or health problems, the biggest problem is that it's gross.
No, it
don't
is.
Do it.
But, you know, but the reason it's gross.
Do they know in that movie that he's
the reason it's gross is because you grow up with your cousins. Like, right? Like, you see your cousins at family event. He didn't do that.
Do they know who he is in that movie?
Yeah, but just knowing
if,
it, though,
if
is
you,
what's gross.
If you found out today that Katie was your cousin, would you be like, well, I got to divorce her?
Or would you be like, let's just keep going.
You'd be like, well, I mean, you know, like on the Discovery Channel sometimes they'll do these shows about, like,
Shark Week.
About incest.
Okay.
And like
Tom's like DVR.
Like it's fascinating. Like a lot of times what happens when people are given up for adoption.
Oh.
Right?
Sure.
Like and they meet somebody years later.
There's this instant connection.
And there's this instant connection and like because they met as adults, like the only way they really know how to express it is sexually.
Right.
And so like they don't gross. I'm not
was that Christy Swanson movie where they get locked in the Flowers in the Attic?
Yeah, Flowers in the Attic. Yeah. And so it's like they say that what they think happens is that when kids hang out when they're younger, they kind of like reverse imprint on each other to where it's like it's really difficult for them to see each other.
That's a good thing.
Yeah, right. No, because you don't want siblings to do that.
Now, your sister's friends.
Right. That's different. But
totally different.
But your sister's friends will reverse imprint on you, and they won't care.
Yeah, right.
How much you want them? They will never want you.
You ever do that?
Twice.
Twice?
Yeah. Wait. Yeah, twice.
So that's a...
Man, I hope she doesn't listen to this show.
But, what were the names?
I'm not saying it.
But it's a pretty common phenomenon.
Yeah.
But if you never grew up around your cousin...
Yeah.
Well, in that...
But if you found out, we're at least trained to where if you found it out, though, I don't think you had to have grown up around them. You'd be like, ugh. Like,
but do they know he's Sonny's kid? It's been a while since I've seen
it. I don't think so.
All right. I don't remember.
I feel like he was a kid in the neighborhood, and then they're just like, oh, by the way.
It's been a long time since I've seen it.
Is it Sonny's?
It's Sonny. So Sonny hooks up in that scene in the first movie where Sonny hooks up with that bridesmaid.
Mm-hmm.
That's the kid.
Yeah.
Like they have, she has a kid.
It's been a while. I've seen three once. I did not like it at all. And maybe it's because I had watched the first two and by comparison, I'm not sure, but I think I've seen it once. Hated it. I've never seen it again.
Hey, you know how we were worried that we may not have a lot to talk about?
I know. And I think it also suffered from the fact, if memory serves, it came out like 6 months after Goodfellas.
Well, that was silly.
Oh, I think that's right. They did come out right.
And so it was like, you see Goodfellas and you're like, whoa.
Yeah.
And you're like, yeah, I totally want to see another Godfather
Scorsese
movie.
Scorsese fella.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Just one more thing.
Yeah.
There are a lot of states, according to Wikipedia, where you can marry your first cousin.
Okay.
Not a lot, but. So, not shocking, Alabama.
No surprise.
Alaska.
Well, it gets cold up there.
Don't say Missouri.
Arizona's on there, but only if one is unable to reproduce. So
we're just going to nip that in the bud right now.
No in Arkansas.
Nip and tuck.
Yeah.
So that's surprising.
Arkansas, so I'm shocked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yes.
Well, they had to say that.
Yeah, they had to put a stop to it.
They had to stop it.
They had to.
It was yes for a while.
So yes in California, Colorado, Connecticut.
California, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
No in Delaware. Yes in Florida, Georgia, Hawaii. There you go, Librarian Cynthia.
Yeah. Get on it. Or not on it. I don't know.
No, it's stop.
No in Idaho. Yes in Illinois, but only if one is infertile or... This is an interesting twist.
Please tell me they're gay.
They're both over 50.
Huh.
Because they figure probably you can't have kids.
So it's a big no in Iowa, Indiana, Kansas, Kentucky, Louisiana. It's a yes in Maine, but you have to have go to a genetic counselor to make sure you're not going to do anything crazy. It's a yes in Maryland and Massachusetts, no in Michigan. Minnesota just says only certain types.
What?
I don't even know what that means.
I don't know what that means.
So it's a no in Mississippi, Missouri, Montana, Nebraska, Nevada, New Hampshire.
It made the cut.
It's a yes in New Jersey, New Mexico, New York, and North Carolina. It's a no in North Dakota, Ohio, Oklahoma, Oregon, and Pennsylvania. It's a yes in Rhode Island, a yes in South Carolina, a no in South Dakota, a yes in Tennessee, a no in Texas. Utah has a whole clause here. Only if both parties are 65 or older or both are 55 or older with a district court finding of infertility of either party or if it's your fourth wife or later.
That's a weird one.
Yeah, and then I made up the last part.
Oh, okay, all right.
Yeah. Yes in Vermont and Virginia, no in Washington, West Virginia, no in Wyoming, and Wisconsin says only if the woman is at least 55 or, again, either party is permanently sterile. So based on these findings, I guess there would be no problems with gay marriage of a first cousin.
I guess that, yeah, I'm sure that would go over swimmingly.
Hmm.
Probably not.
I don't know.
I have no idea.
But, I mean, all the caveats seem to be based on genetic maladies
and
that
age.
Could be caused.
Yeah.
So, you know, they don't want you to have kids, basically. So, if you're gay cousin marriage, should be fine.
Perfect.
That was the weirdest tangent we've ever been on. I never want to revisit this again. Joe, Rocky Five.
Rocky Five. So, Rocky is hobo Rocky. He's spent all his money, which they kind of reference in one.
Sad Rocky music.
He's sad Rocky.
It's played entirely on a trombone.
Right. which they kind of reference that he has spent up all his money by Rocky
Four. It's on that robot.
It's on that stupid robot.
That robot is so expensive.
Yeah, Paulie's drinking him out of house of home. So he takes Tommy Gunn, who was an actual boxer at the time. I don't remember what his real name was.
Machine Gun.
I think he's
Timmy
dead.
Gunn.
Timmy Gunn. Yeah. Timmy Two Zunes.
Tim Gunn, the fashion designer, the former boxer?
That would have been hilarious. So Rocky kind of takes his kid under his wing. He starts training.
He had HIV, didn't he?
Yeah, but then he said he didn't. Like, he fought. He fought after that diagnosis.
Yeah, that was Tommy a big controversy.
Tommy Morrison, I think. I think he's dead now, though. So anyway, he takes him under his wing. He starts to win, and Rocky's just kind of like, you got to slow down. Like, we're not going to go with the champ. There's a not Don King, which we've gone over before.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's him. Yeah. Kevin was adamant that it was Don King in this movie. I'm like, it's not Don King.
No, it wasn't in this one. It was
it's Rocky 5.
4.
No.
No, I thought that when...
Don King is in 4. Don King walks Apollo to the ring in 4. That is for sure.
So 3 then.
No, 5.
I don't think... I hate 5. I wouldn't have argued about 5 because I don't even remember 5. It was either 3 or 4 that we argued about and found out it was not Don
this,
King.
This one.
We argued that it was Don King, and then you looked it up, and it wasn't. I think it was in 4. It wasn't. It was like a Don King impersonator,
It was
right?
5, because 5 is the one that he punches the guy in the face, and I said, there's no way that Don King would ever allow somebody to punch Don King in the face.
So maybe I didn't realize that was 5. Okay.
Don King does walk Apollo to the ring in one of them, but in this one, there's a Don King-style character that gets into Tommy Gunn's ear and says, you know, drop Rocky. Anyway, I think he loses. I don't remember if he loses the heavyweight championship. It kind of goes back. But it's an awful movie. It's not good. It's not what you want in a Rocky movie. But at the very end of the movie, there is a legit street fight between Rocky and Tommy Gunn.
A legit street fight?
Like, they are fighting in a street. Like, that's...
Yeah, like, they're not... They're not really punching each other, but,
I thought you meant Stallone and Tom Morrison. Like...
But, like, yeah, they end up having a fight in the street because, like...
Tommy is just like, I want to fight you, and he's just like, no, I'm not going to fight you. He even says, he's like, you're way stronger than me. And, you know, like, in the first two movies, he's got, like, the eye thing where he, like, knocks his eyeball out and stuff. But yeah, they have and it's a good fight. Like, it's a good old school brawl fist.
And Rocky's about to get his butt kicked, and the Penguin says, come on, Rock. Come on, Rock.
He's dead by this one.
Yeah, but it's his, like, spirit comes back. Yeah, he sees a vision of him or something.
That's in 4. There is no mentions of Burgess Meredith in this movie whatsoever.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
I can't say it's been so long.
Yeah, it's been a long time too. I thought that he had a vision of
No.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I'm
Rocky 5, Burgess Meredith has an IMDb credit.
It may be a flashback, but like of them at the gym.
If anyone correct us.
Please do.
If Joe's wrong, don't correct us.
But yeah, it's a really good, well-choreographed fight, and it's a hard-hitting. It's in the middle of the night. It's gritty. It's a really good fight, and you're just like, oh yeah, Rocky does know how to fight. Like, it's
kind of what we come to these movies for.
I didn't come to see him in somebody's corner, you know, not fighting. And then they do Creed, and it was like, no, don't let Rocky fight anymore. Like, let Creed, who I think is gonna fight Dolph Lundgren
in two.
Like, Dolph Lundgren is in talks.
Wait a minute,
for Creed. Minute.
So
is he?
Wait, and I saw this, but I haven't actually read the article, so I saw the headlines, but you got to ask yourself, at that point, how is it still a Creed movie?
I don't know.
Like, so, is Michael B. Johnson going to do this? Michael B. Jordan going to do this? I would think he'd be like...
What about me?
Yeah, he'd be like, well, him as my trainer makes sense. Me
but
standing
now I have
there
to
while
fight
he
his,
fights
his
Dolph
demon?
Lundgren.
No.
Creed's going to fight
Dolph Lundgren.
That's crazy. So Ivan Drago is going to be in Creed 2.
I don't know.
That would be
he
insane.
Is going to be in Creed 2. I don't
or is
know
he
going to
fight Drago's son.
That's what I was thinking.
Oh my gosh. They're
which
all
I'd
gonna
be fine
fight.
With.
They're all going to fight each other.
I mean, as long
and
as
in Rocky and Drago be the undercard. Yeah.
As long as in Creed 3 he fights Clubber Lang's kid, I think we'll be all right.
No, we need to see him fight Mr.
Okay.
T.
According to Wikipedia, it says...
Which is never wrong.
During the fight, Rocky is eventually beaten down and seemingly out for the count. He then hears the voice of Mickey. Could be Dolan's.
We don't know.
urging him to get up
and
continue the fight to go just one more round.
One more round. And he does. And he beats Tommy Gunn up. And then he gets a hold of the Don King character. And the entire time he's like, you touch me, I'll sue. And then, of course, Rocky lays him out in one punch. Yeah, terrible movie, but an awesome, awesome little scene. It's just like, it's the very end of the movie. Like, that's how the movie ends, is him in the street in Philadelphia beating the crap out of this guy.
And it's a shame.
Was it West Philadelphia?
No, he was not born and raised. Okay. Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess Brocky was born and raised there, but
he, the film was directed by the director of the first Rocky.
Yeah.
So like, you were like, oh, you're bringing this guy back. Right. Like, you thought you were going to, like, they're going to get it right. No.
Mm-mm. They don't.
They did not.
They don't. And that's, you know, but yeah, it's a redeeming. If you can go on, I'm sure you can go on YouTube and look up the Rocky Balboa Tommy Gunn fight.
Oh yeah, you can find scenes like
that. It's so much fun.
Probably on that movie clips channel that has like high def, just legit movie clips. They do,
which
like,
is where I found my second one.
Really?
Yeah, they found it in 4K and it was it looked good.
They do.
If I will say every one that I'm talking about of mine is available on YouTube.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Nice.
Yeah, there you go. So there's my first one.
So maybe just go fast forward to that if you want to see a cool
fight. Or just look it up on YouTube.
right. Fast forward. Wait, did I say fast forward?
It's fine.
Wow. Showing my age.
Yes. Showing my age.
I'll start off with this one just to make sure we get it in here. This is a movie that you may have heard of. It's one that we've actually talked about. It's a little
Monster Squad.
Lesser known. No.
Oh my God. It's Man of Steel.
No, close.
Yeah,
it's a little lesser known.
I know what it is. It's going to be the warehouse fight from Batman versus Superman.
It absolutely is. I'm pretty positive that of every single Batman movie, I think it is the coolest action scene Batman has ever fight scene that he's ever been involved with.
It gives you a good idea of how good of a fighter he is until he starts blowing guys up.
Yeah, but we have never. I mean,
thank God for throwing the word "up" in there.
Yeah, well, I wanted to make sure we were on the. You
right,
know,
yeah,
right,
but right. Also, I don't remember this at all.
But also,
Justice League XXX.
There's bombs and pants where he blows people up, and it's kind of, you know, works with it. So,
if you do it right.
Yeah. But so as much as people were disappointed with this movie, myself included, and we've talked at lengths about it. Go listen to the podcast.
Two and a half hour
Batman
episode.
V Superman. It's the sequel to the first movie we ever reviewed.
Yeah.
Man of Steel was number one. So this movie is
Batman versus Superman. You know who lost? Us.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it comes down to, the funny thing is, in a movie called Batman V Superman, the fight between Batman and Superman is nothing. Like, the showdown, it amounts to nothing. But what we do care about is this one scene that I would say just stands out. Best scene of the movie is that warehouse scene. We have never seen Batman fight like that before.
God, I was so bored by this point. I barely remember it happening. I also remember being so dark I couldn't see what was going on.
Right.
Yeah, so that you should watch the clip sometime. I mean, it's only like 2 minutes long. It's not long, but it is.
So it's on RedTube.
Exactly. That's all you need.
The best part. It's 2 minutes long. It's on.
Gone.
Yeah. It's all I need.
But so Batman, he basically, Alfred tells him that the guys in the warehouse have Superman's mom, I guess, tied up in like the third floor of a warehouse.
What's her name? Do you remember what her name was?
I don't remember.
Diane Lane.
It doesn't really make a difference.
I forget what her name was.
Yeah.
Mary.
Mothra.
Mothra. Yes.
It's a shared universe.
Marilda.
Isn't that WB is Godzilla, so I guess that works.
Yeah, that works out.
God damn it. I hope they don't listen. I don't need to give them any ideas. And that franchise is kind of working.
Yeah, so
like,
far.
Don't inject DC into it.
No.
Please, dear God.
The Batwing drops him off or whatever.
Fights KGBs.
Yeah, and he ends up, there's all the guys guarding the door that Martha's behind, and you have like 7 or 8, maybe 10 guards all with their guns, and they're looking around and nothing's happening. It's silent, and Batman just bursts through the floor and like takes guys through it. He jumps up, he throws a crate at someone, he gets like a grappling hook, but it is just an amazing action scene.
It's very well put together,
very well choreographed, and very cool looking, and
it's hard hitting. It's not that, you know, it
Zack Snyder, one thing he knows, if you give him credit for nothing else, he knows how to direct action sequences and cool looking ones. We've seen it in even movies that people don't care for, like Sucker Punch, for instance. A lot of people don't like that movie.
It's a visually stunning movie.
Visually, right? And the action scenes, Watchmen, he recreated a graphic novel with some brilliant action scenes.
Yep.
So the guy knows how to do that. I was amazed and very disappointed that it was in a lesser movie, because I'm like, that scene was really cool. And then he starts killing people. And that's the only bad part about that scene. It's a really cool scene. And if it weren't Batman, who doesn't kill people,
right,
I think it would be a great scene, but of course it ends up at the end taking you out of it because he ends up throwing a guy against a wall and like there's blood on the wall.
Well, he also throws like a grenade at a guy, like he knocks a guy
into
an elevator,
yeah,
and then throws a grenade in there with him.
I mean, he clearly kills people toward the end of the scene multiple. So and that's definitely something that I don't agree with for the mythology.
Yeah, it's
because it's cool. Zack Snyder did because it's cool, and we've talked about this at length. So I don't agree with that part, but watch the choreography, watch the action sequences and the effects, the fight scenes. Ben Affleck as Batman is, in my opinion, the most intimidating Batman. Like, if you saw him in a dark, shadowy corner coming out at you, he's huge.
I haven't decided yet.
Oh, I just...
Like, he's given so... The movie's so bad, and he's not given so little to do.
But it's not him, though, right? Does anyone think that Ben Affleck is the problem as Batman?
No.
Not
he's
at all.
The cast, I've said, Henry Cavill, Affleck, Gal Gadot, like, they are not the problem. Cavill, to me, is, like, he could make a really good, he's just been given nothing to do.
We saw it in the Army Hammer spy movie.
Yeah, like, he's super
charming.
He's
charismatic in that,
yeah.
But my point is, though, anyone that, with all this controversy, is Ben Affleck going to be in the Matt Reeves movie? Now he says he is, but, you know, it was going back and forth. I don't think the majority of people think that Ben Affleck is the problem with these films. It's the script, it's, you know, the direction and the choices, like we've talked about at length on the other podcast. But I think that he is a hard-hitting Batman. Like you said, the scene really shows how Bruce Wayne knows how to fight.
Yeah.
And Affleck's just so huge that, I mean, when he's whipping these guys around and throwing crates or whatever, or pulling crates with the bat grappling hook into the people and stuff.
I will say also, it's a testament to the evolution of costumes.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, the 89 Batman, Michael Keaton, even if they wanted to do it, like that he couldn't move that, right?
He had to fight just like punching forward. Like
he looked like one of those punching nuns.
Yeah,
like
he was.
He didn't have a choice. Now
it's Rock'em Sock'em Robots.
Rock'em Sock'em Batman. Now they have the ability to, you know, do these costumes and give them mobility. Granted, he's still got like a neck, he doesn't have a neck, basically. It's just a head on shoulders.
Which is good that you want a Batman that has his head on his shoulders.
That's true.
Right?
That's a good point.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they reference that in The Dark Knight. When he gets the new suit that allows him to pivot his head.
Yeah.
But yeah, like they've never.
He should have got a suit that would allow him to fix that lisp.
Nope. Got to have it.
Yeah. Something to fix the baby talk.
I did not like that choice that Christian Bale made.
I didn't mind the choice, except for when he would do it when people weren't there. like when Catwoman disappears and he's like, so that's what that feels like. Why? You're the only one there. Why are you talking like that?
Bruce Wayne is a method actor.
Once he's in
character.
Yeah. But you've never seen... It's Batman is the Captain America kind of like in fighting style of the DC universe. So you've never... I don't think they've ever captured how good of a fighter he is. He's never really gotten to a fist fight in any movie until Batman versus Superman.
I want to say The Dark Knight Rises, he does some fighting on the rooftop with Catwoman when they're fighting the guys and they go into the bat plane.
Yeah, yeah. But no one doesn't know how to choreograph a fight scene. That's true. Like, every fight scene no one does, it's like up close and it's all quick cuts. And
I mean,
he
definitely isn't known for his fight choreography. But yeah, I mean, so to attest to this movie, I could not think of, I'm not saying, obviously, I can think of a lot better Batman movies, but I could not think of a better action scene involving Batman.
It was a good spot.
It looks good, and I hope we see some really good action choreography in the Matt Reeves Batman, but mixed with obviously a better script and better story. And
I'll take anything at this point.
We can only hope. Yeah, I really hope that turns out well. So yeah, I'd like to see more like that. But I think that Matt Reeves gets the character, and he will not have him killing people. That's my number one request. If you're gonna do a scene like this and have it be cool, have him use his smarts like Batman does and figure out a way to take out the bad guys without killing them.
Right.
Because that's
right.
Batman,
not what Batman does,
and that's what makes it clever.
Right.
Yeah. You
know? He's so smart. Yeah. He knows how to get the upper hand. That's why Batman can fight Superman in theory, right? Because it's like Superman is all powerful. How would you beat him? But that's the joke. Everyone always says because he's Batman.
He'd already have a plan.
He'll outthink him.
Yes, right. Two steps ahead. Exactly.
Right.
Yeah. He's Sherlock Holmes.
Superman's playing checkers. Batman's playing chess.
Exactly.
And Wonder Woman's playing Parcheesi.
Yahtzee.
Yeah. Backgammon, perhaps.
Scrabble.
So that's my first movie is surprisingly from 2009.
Oh.
Yeah. All my movies are relatively, I think my oldest one's probably about 20 years old.
Okay.
Maybe 20, 3.
Old enough to drive, not old enough to drink.
Right. What?
20 years old, 20 old years enough old? To drive, not old enough to drink.
Oh, because of the 20, because yeah. I was amended yeah. it, and that's why I was like, wait, what? So this is a Nicolas Cage movie from 2009.
Man. Whoa.
And I will say...
Bad Lieutenant?
I think this movie
Knowing?
Was this close to being a great movie.
Ghost Rider.
No. Oh. Knowing. You got it right.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And so he plays, what, like an astrophysicist?
Yeah.
And there's a girl, like in the 60s, they do a time capsule, or the late 50s, they do a time capsule, and she writes all these numbers that are apparently meaningless, and then through a series of coinkydinks, Nicolas Cage's character ends up with these numbers, and he begins to deduce that these are all predictions mm-hmm. of major disasters. And that it appears to
it like culminates right.
Right. It appear then. And the sequence appears to end with a disaster so large, it will end the world.
Yeah.
And so he's trying to figure out first if it's true. And then second, if you know, if there's anything he can do to stop it. And
is
so
this Shyamalan?
No,
I'm thinking The Happening, I guess.
Yeah.
No, this was directed by Alex Proyas, who directed.
Oh, it's The Crow.
The Crow. Yeah.
Oh. And Dark City.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
And two great movies.
Yeah. And then he was done. Yeah.
I don't think I've ever seen this movie.
Yeah. And it's you know, it's a frustrating film because, like, I'd say the first two thirds of it are pretty good.
Yeah.
And then it doesn't have the courage of its own convictions to go ahead with.
Pull that trigger.
With what it's going to do. Because it's building up to the end of the world. I don't know if I should. Can we spoil it?
I mean, it's real spoilers. Yeah, so here's the deal. We are going to spoil these movies. All right, so, you know,
yeah.
Tom's are going to be fairly recent. Mine next one is going to be fairly recent. I think we're going to be, but don't, you know.
Yeah, so the movie ends up ending with the world ending. But there's this weird device at the end where, like, out of nowhere, aliens come down and rescue, like, his kids. So there's trying to tack a happy ending onto a sad
that
movie.
Sucks.
And I was
the
like,
world ends, but his kids get rescued?
Yeah. And so, like, there's alien ships that are taking some people, and so they're putting kids on them.
How to cook, man.
But, like, probably to be sex slaves or dinner.
But,
yeah.
But like, the movie isn't about aliens, right? And so for the aliens to just show up, you're like, oh, this is literally a Deus Ex Machina. Yeah. Like,
how to cook humans.
Yeah, how to cook man.
How to cook for humans. Yeah.
Yeah. And
great, that's a good one.
Oh, love it.
So it's a frustrating ending because it's supposed to be building up to the world ending, and it's like, and the things are so big that there's no way he's going to stop them.
I gotcha.
So it's like they should have just been like, well, he knows, and there's nothing you can do. Just enjoy the ride. Yeah. And so
knowing he knew, but.
Right? Yeah. It's called Knowing, not Fixing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, but there's a scene in the middle of this movie, and there are some pretty good, like, disaster action set pieces.
He will come out of nowhere, and you're just like, man, where have you been?
Yeah.
Like, I really enjoy the
National.
Oh, I
know where he's been. He releases about two movies a year.
Yeah, I really enjoy the National Treasure movies.
He's been in the Ukraine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you know, his old lady made him sell his Action Comics number one.
Oh, that's, you just get divorced.
Yeah, game over, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like the first National.
The, I like
second,
the second
one was so boring. But so there's a scene in the middle of this movie where he ends up in the middle of a plane crash, and like the plane crashes into the middle of a field, and it, like, traffic is stopped, and then the plane crashes. And so what's cool is, like, within the context of the movie, I know I'm spoiling this part, but you didn't see it coming. Like, he's standing there talking to somebody, like a police officer, like, why is traffic stopped? And then the cop, like, looks up and just turns around and runs from Nicolas Cage. And you're just like, what the hell is happening?
Yeah.
And then the camera pans up and you see this, you know, big commercial airliner, 747, I guess. I don't know. But a big one comes in, like, sideways, and its wing, like, clips the ground, and it, like, just sprays fuel and fire everywhere. And then you get, like, a two and a half minute segment of the film that's one tracking shot of him running through the wreckage of this as people are bursting into flames and things are exploding and shrapnel's flying past his head. And it's just like, it all of a sudden becomes like the Saving Private Ryan of an airplane crash.
Yeah.
And it is just masterfully done. And it's just such an amazing scene that you just like, why can't the whole movie be this good? Or if they just had a better ending, because there's another scene where there's like a subway crash that's pretty good too.
Yeah.
And if they had just had the courage of their convictions to not try to tack on some version of a happy ending to this movie, because it's like, no matter what, you're not getting a sequel.
Yeah, you're killing everybody.
You know, like, you know, you're not bringing Nicolas Cage back. You show the world ending.
Right.
Like, you're done.
Yeah. What was he trying to do with the, I mean, how did they attempt to make it a happy ending, or how was he trying to save the world in this movie?
Well, I don't, if memory serves, like, he really even wasn't trying to save it. He was just trying to.
Was he trying to figure out the puzzle and then the last second?
Yeah, like, they don't figure out until pretty close to the end that, like, oh, like, this is. Everybody's gonna die,
right?
You know, like each disaster, like, she, you know,
it ramps it up,
right?
Yeah.
And so but then there's like, all of a sudden there's these aliens that are taking that, he, you know, so his kids can live, and you're,
oh,
just
boy.
Like, I'm like, but you still killed like 4 billion people. Like, that's, they're just not people that we see in the movie,
right?
But there's a lot of collateral damage too. Like, this movie doesn't pull any punches. When there are these disaster scenes, you're seeing people die. It's not one of those things where it's like, well, you kind of assume people die, but you don't see it.
You don't see it happen.
You see it happen. Like, it was, it's pretty, it's a pretty intense movie. It's just a shame the ending wasn't.
Yeah,
better.
He'll put out something. You're just like, oh yeah, Nicolas Cage.
Yeah,
like, you used to be somebody. I feel like an Academy Award.
I feel like this was probably his last movie that had significant studio back.
Yeah, I think you're probably right.
You know,
there. So. Yeah. Trying to think, like, there was
Nicholas
National
Coppola.
Treasure,
yeah,
Nicholas Coppola.
So anyway, that's
Fast
that's,
Times to Hit Richmond High.
Yeah.
Flipping burgers and that, right?
Yeah.
Was he flipping burgers?
Does he work at the? He works with the main.
Oh,
judge,
yeah, you're right.
Judge Reinhold at the fast food place.
Yeah, that's right.
Right.
That's right. Yeah.
So anyway, that's mine. What's
good,
your
good call?
Thank
so,
you.
Anybody who knows me knows that I love Superman. Like, he's my favorite superhero of all time.
Really? I hadn't heard. Yeah. I'm looking at you now. And
I know, it's weird, right?
Huh. Okay.
So in 2005, they announced that there was going to be a new Superman.
Hmm.
And they were going to bring on Bryan Singer, who was coming off X-Men 2. Mm-hmm. And it was...
What could possibly go wrong?
No.
They cast Brandon Routh, who looked just like... Chris Reeve, like, everything about that looked just like Chris Reeve. He said that we're going to pick up where Superman 2 ends, and we're going to forget about 3 and 4, which is 4 the best.
Talk about a guy that just never did anything else. I know he's in other things, but
that's, I mean,
Brandon Routh, just,
he tried.
He was Superman.
He got typecast. They asked him, they're like, are you afraid of the Superman curse? He's like, I mean, I could die tomorrow and not be Superman.
Yeah, I mean, the guy was
Superman. He's got a hell of a living on the convention circuit.
That was always my thought.
Yeah.
I'm like, you get a role like that, worst case scenario, you make convention money for the
rest
of your life.
So not only
in a bad
worst
way.
Case, but he wants, I mean, as an actor, obviously,
sure.
He wants to be an
A-lister.
It's a
shame because, like, he was
work.
In Zack and Miri, and he was hilarious.
What did, remind me, he was
he's the
agent
he,
or something. Or
no,
the
no, no, no. He's the boyfriend
of
Justin
Long.
Long.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. He was like the one that Elizabeth Banks had a crush on.
Yeah.
He was the high school quarterback. He was everything.
Yeah.
And
he ends up being gay.
He was on Chuck. He had a run on Chuck.
Yeah, it's kind of a. Was he kind of a jerk?
Like, he was. I think he was kind of sent from headquarters to help them out, and turned out to be a double agent or something.
And I'm not saying he doesn't get work. He's the Atom on those DC shows. I mean, he gets work. My point is, he was Superman, and then what was his next big movie? Like, he should have been...
Zack and Miri make a porno.
Right, but, you know, it's just a shame, because the guy has the look, you know? He has the look, obviously. He was cast as Superman. He could have been big, and I don't think he's a bad actor.
No, I think he's a good actor. I think he's funny. I think he's earnest. Like, he definitely has that. I mean, he has that Christopher Reeve quality.
Yeah.
Like, he was bigger. I think he was built bigger, but he had the same persona on screen.
Yeah.
So, and then that movie happened, and it was not good.
Swing and a miss.
Yeah. There was a lot of weird choices.
Is Lex Luthor doing a real estate
Yes,
scandal,
it's
like
Superman 1
is doing.
Yeah.
Always trying to do a real estate
scam. Trying to get that real estate. Cal Penn is in this movie as a henchman.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Parker Posey does her best Miss Tessmacher impression. But there are some redeeming qualities. There's a scene where Lex's boat is kind of like impaled on a piece of kryptonite. Don't get me started. It breaks in half. half the boat falls into the water, and then super like they make it feel like so Lois, James Marsden, and I guess Superman's son that they don't.
You guess.
I mean, it is Superman's son, basically.
Yeah.
But, like, that's the other thing is, like...
There's so many problems with this.
At the end of Superman 2, he gives her the super kiss and makes her forget. And then
he gave her more than the super kiss.
Right. So then, like, she has this kid... But she
because this is supposed to be in continuity.
Yeah. Superman 1 and 2, like, Superman Returns is supposed to pick up after Superman 2, after the Donner flicks. So, like, then she has this kid, but she doesn't remember sleeping with Superman. How does that work?
Yeah.
You know, like, that's a very weird... Obviously, I think they were going to explain it in the next one that never got made.
Same. We all know the physics of Superman and Lois Lane, and
if Mallrats has taught me anything,
he would have to wear a kryptonite condom,
like a shotgun, right through her back.
But that would kill him.
So like they're drowning, like they're in the water. And this isn't the scene I'm talking about, but it's another good scene. And he shows up. He grabs it with one arm. He grabs the boat with one arm, pulls the boat up, and then grabs the other three of them. And, you know, it seems like he gets shot in the eyeball with a bullet, which is really cool.
It's a cool special effect at the time. That looked really good.
I think it still holds up.
Yeah. I mean, CGI has improved now, of course. But, I mean, I remember at the time seeing that. Right. Like, that was great CGI cool. in 2005.
Cool. 6. So it was announced in 05. Okay. It was done in 06. But the scene that I want to talk about is the airplane sequence. Lois Lane, kind of in, it's a throwback to in modern continuity of the first appearance of Superman in the comic books, is there's a spaceship that's gonna crash. Clark is already in Metropolis, but he's not Superman at this point. Realizes in the comic books, he flies up there, they saves the spaceship, and somebody snaps a picture. Jimmy Olsen snaps a picture, and it's just all you can see is the little man, kind of like in Guardians 2, of him putting the ship down. And that's where it starts. So in this one, there's another ship.
He took a picture of a little man in a boat?
Little man in a boat? Maybe?
In a robot? Wait a minute. Jimmy Olsen's alive in this universe?
Jimmy Olsen's a legit character. He gets to hang out with Clark Kent. They get to have a beer together.
That's an interesting choice.
I know.
You mean they don't just kill Jimmy Olsen off without telling you his name?
No.
That doesn't sound like they're having fun with this one.
No, they did not have fun.
That was probably
the point.
Yeah. That's why
they did not
movie.
Have fun with this one. So there's a spaceship. It's going to be the closest an airplane has ever gotten into the outer space. There's a problem with the mechanism. So Superman has gone at this point. He has been off Earth. They say for about 5 years, 5 to 6 years, because he was trying to find the remnants of Krypton.
He's got a beard, clearly. Then
he's
got what?
No beard.
Wait a minute.
He was going to walk the Earth like Kane.
Like Kane.
Yeah,
Kung Fu.
You're telling me he was walking the Earth, reflecting, and he didn't.
No, he wasn't
grow
walking
a beard.
The Earth. He was in a spaceship.
Well, he was off gallivanting about.
No beard.
Huh. Okay. Surprises at every turn with this movie.
Every time. So there's a problem. The spaceship and the airplane cannot disengage. The locking mechanisms are stuck, and then all of a sudden,
like dogs doing it,
they can't let go, just locked in there.
You need Superman with a bucket of water.
Get out of here, you crazy mutt.
That's so messed up. I just a year ago learned about that. I never knew how dogs mated that. I'm like, that is messed up. Like, you can't pull them apart. Like, they're for 20-30 minutes
just
stuck together.
Yeah, just let them go.
I had no idea that was a thing. I'm like, I did not want to know that. And I'm
why is it on my movies we end up talking about incest and dogs banging each other?
Well, at least the dogs weren't cousins, were they?
Yeah, I don't know. Well, I guess they could have been.
Because that would be gross.
That would be gross.
Well, you know, like show dogs, I'm pretty sure they only breed.
Those are inbred.
The lines are. Yeah. So
anyway.
Good chance.
So the locks won't disengage. So Superman shows
like
up.
Dogs.
Like dogs.
Like dogs.
And he uses heat vision. He snaps the locks off, sends the airplane into outer space. But then he turns and realizes that the airplane itself has been so damaged that it can't right itself. So he swoops down and he accidentally snaps one of the wings off, and then he has to readjust it.
Wings.
So he readjusts and he saves. You know, there's a great scene where the airplane is literally has no wings, unfortunately, and is like tail spits
like an old sanitary napkin.
Yeah, that's right. No wings.
No wings.
No wings.
So he poured blue water on it.
Blue milk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, what is happening here? Just no.
So there's the great scene where he flies to the front of the airplane and he catches it, and he starts to, like, you know, slow it down. And there's actually physics to this where, like, there's ripples into the airplane because he's pushing up on it. Yeah. And it's a great, like, and he lands it in the middle of a baseball.
I think Brandon Routh actually caught an airplane.
I believe he could.
I think he trained.
Yeah, really? I did believe.
You did?
Yeah, he started with Cessnas and he worked his way up.
So he lands and he pulls open the door. And, of course, he gives the line from Superman the movie where he's like, I hope this hasn't worried any of you, like, statistically speaking, it's still the safest way to travel. And he flies away, and I'm just like, and this is all in the I don't know, the first 15 minutes, and I was like, if this
you're
is
like,
the
you're
movie,
like, oh, they're crushing it.
Yeah. And then the rest of the movie happens.
Have we talked about that they should just set Superman, like, in the 70s?
We said, say, like,
I
40s
said
or 50s.
It okay, should be set in the 40s. Yeah.
I mean, that would be fine, too. I'm just trying to think of a way to keep it, like, fairly modern where maybe eventually it could connect or
Superman
something.
Superman Birthright,
but,
I'm telling you.
But have it connect, have it be in the old times. It would work so much better.
Yeah.
Well, Birthright would explain why she still had the baby.
Bingo. Well, super baby. You can't really do anything. Right. Like, she's like, no. Yeah. Ding, ding. I have to use kryptonite tools. It's a big mess. But no, Superman Birthright by Mark Waid is the modern Superman. Like, it's not, he's traveling the world, but he's not trying to reconnect with humanity. He's just, he's learning about
life.
He wants
to travel.
He does. Like, he
wants to see things.
He goes to Africa and ends up, like, he's writing a story on a, like, an African, not warlord, but, like, a peacemaker, and he's trying to bring these tribes together. He's not, like, I don't know what humanity is, and I don't know what humans are. He's like a 21-year-old trying to learn the world and learn how the world works. He has all these powers, but he doesn't he doesn't use them until he comes to Metropolis. But yeah, so this scene, it's great. Like, it's so good. It's beautifully shot. Like, the CG is on point. It's really good. And then the rest of the movie happens, and he gets stabbed in the back with, like, a kryptonite shank. It's a mess. It's a big old mess. So Brett Ratner was attached to this at first, and Singer was going to do X-Men 3, and then for whatever reason, they flip-flopped and killed both franchises.
Yeah. Well, either way, it looks like it would not.
But it is a shame that we didn't.
Although I doubt it would have been better with Ratner doing it.
Probably not.
Yeah.
No, I have no doubt.
X-Men 3 might have been better.
With Singer.
But Superman would have still been screwed.
It's just funny how they can't figure it out.
Yeah.
Going all the way back to 19...
Superman 3.
Superman 3.
Was like 83?
84? So Superman 1 was... Superman 2 was 81. So I guess it could have been 83.
3's prior?
3's prior. 4 is Nuclear Man. 5 or 6. So there was going to be a 5 that never happened. Like, Canon had the rights to it. And
Superman 3 was 83.
Okay. And then
Superman
4
is weird Superman. It's not Bizarro.
No, it's yeah, right.
Weird clone evil.
Well, no, that's Superman 3.
That is 3.
Yeah, yeah. 3 is the one where he gets hit with, like, synthesized kryptonite and becomes, like, bad guy.
Rapey Superman, yeah.
And then they have that. So I almost picked that. Like, there's a fight scene between Clark Kent and Superman in a junkyard. It's awesome.
Huh.
But it's, you know, whatever.
So what is 4
nonsensical
about?
Yeah, 4 is the Nuclear Man with John Cryer
they're gonna end all nuclear weapons, man.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
That's John Cryer in the leather jacket.
Yes, yeah.
Like with a mohawk.
Yeah. And then Returns and then Man of Steel.
Returns had potential, and it was exciting that it was coming back. And
And then we had Batman at the same time. Yeah, like,
it was a good-looking movie, but it was so boring.
It was very boring.
Superman never throws a punch, right?
No. He picks up an airplane and a planet.
Yeah. Like, it was so boring. Yeah. And and Kevin Spacey, great actor, obviously. We all know that he's a talented guy. And
Kate Bosworth? Nah, never mind. I was swinging a miss.
And then who was Rachel McAdams as Lois?
No, it was Kate Bosworth.
Wasn't Rachel McAdams Lois one?
She was rumored to be Lois.
But she was.
Yeah. But she was not.
So I'm just making that up. I see Rachel McAdams as...
She looks like Rachel. She has the same hair as Rachel McAdams.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
it's Kate Bosworth. Okay. Yeah. Because, yeah, that's just funny that I connected that. Huh. But...
So, Kevin, what's your next one?
I feel very strongly about this scene. The movie that I'm thinking of is 1999 film.
That was 1999.
This is a scene that every time I want to test a new TV or projector, a surround sound
system. Oh, I think I know what this is.
I go to this scene, and I would be willing to bet this is the scene that I have watched more than any other scene in my entire life, as far as just watching a scene from a movie.
Can I guess it?
Sure.
The highway scene in Matrix 2?
No, that's a good scene.
All right.
Matrix 2 was not very good, but did have some great scenes. The third one was just not good at all. There's only one good scene. But anyway, this is a scene that, again, I've watched this so many times, and I have never, ever put in a movie so many times just to watch one scene and then be done with it. And that is 1999's The Phantom Menace.
Oh, the lightsaber battle.
It's the lightsaber battle.
That's a good one.
Between Darth Maul, Obi-Wan, and Qui-Gon Jinn.
Yeah, that's legit.
It is the hands down best part of that entire movie.
The pod race is pretty good.
Well, the pod race is good. That's the other one. I mean, I would go back and forth. Those are the two standouts. That lightsaber scene is awesome.
Yeah.
So we're coming off of a time, you remember in the OT, what the lightsaber battles looked like. So everyone was hyped up.
Is that what we call it now? The OT?
Well, the original trilogy is what people...
I mean, I know what... Have we gotten to that point where we're just... We don't say original trilogy anymore?
Well, now we do five times.
The OT. Well, no big deal.
That's what the short end is for. So...
We're busy people. We don't have time for original trilogy.
Yeah.
That's like four extra syllables.
Yeah.
Syllables.
Yeah. So, those lightsaber scenes...
They're bad. Not bad, but they're not good.
They're not bad. They're bad.
All right.
Obi-Wan versus Darth Vader.
That was pretty bad.
Yeah. They're bad.
Like, do their elbows not work?
Yeah, like, it was just like...
I'm like, I really like how the choice that Alec Guinness made of Kenobi having rheumatoid arthritis.
He went for it.
You can really tell he hated those movies.
Hell yeah.
He hated that movie.
I mean, because he was a classically trained actor that just... It's like so crazy that is what he is most known for, and that's why I hated it, right?
Yeah.
But to be a part of something so amazing, it just sucks that he couldn't see past that, you know, that like this is a beloved thing that will live on way longer than...
Apparently longer than him.
Well.
Well.
They all get destroyed in a...
Any movie lives on longer than
that's
the actors.
True. That's fair. Yeah.
So anyway, but this scene is one that I don't want to watch that movie ever, but I'll watch... To test out surround sounds, I've used the pod race scene.
Yeah.
Great bass, great surround sound stuff. I mean, it is a good, a very well done scene. But that lightsaber sequence, again, coming off the original trilogy for Joe, we've seen these crappy lightsaber scenes, and I love Star Wars, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying Star Wars sucks, obviously. I mean, love it. But anyone has to admit those lightsaber scenes.
I remember
scenes,
walking out of that movie trying to convince myself that it was good. I was like, no, it was good.
Yeah, they call that denial.
Yeah.
And it's not a river,
just a river in Egypt.
I did the same thing with my first marriage.
It's fine. Yeah. Everything's fine. It's great.
But, you know, I was thinking back, and when this subject came up, that was the first movie I thought of, because I have watched on the DVD, on the Blu-ray.
Yeah.
You know, I have gone to the chapter selection and just found that lightsaber sequence so many times it set
the new bar.
We were getting an awesome choreographed fight scene.
If you think about it, the Princess Bride had a better lightsaber fight than any of the OTs.
Yeah, that's true. Nice. That's true.
I mean, sure, it got a little better in Return of the Jedi. They're flipping around and stuff. I mean, it definitely got better, but this was choreography, modern choreography.
Well, also you had, was it Ray Park? Ray...
Ghostbusters?
Yeah. No. Isn't that his name?
Yeah, Ray Park.
Was Darth Maul.
Yeah.
And that dude was like a legit...
He's awesome.
Martial artist and stuntman and
Yeah, I saw him live at Star Wars Celebration 3. He was one of the speakers, and he did some of the, you know...
He's good.
He took a lightsaber and was flinging around. But the story behind that, you know, is he was the stuntman.
Right. Right,
and just like, they just used him. Yeah. I mean, it's a guy in makeup. Like,
and he doesn't have lines.
Right, so it's like, why would you have an actor and then a stuntman when all the scenes are stunts?
See, there's a good example of, you get that gig, you can make a living the rest of your life on the convention.
So not only is he Toad. He's Darth Maul and Toad. So,
you know what happens to a Toad when it gets hit by lightning?
Same thing as everything else.
That's him, yep. That's all he's really ever done. But he does do the circuit, obviously. He's Darth Maul. That's one of the greatest villains. Like, it's Star Wars.
Okay.
Well, there's not that many.
He's in it for one movie.
I know, but he was... and then he's a big part in the Clone Wars. That character's awesome, and the fact that they killed him off... I mean, it was a great scene, don't get me wrong.
They did kill him off, and I was like,
it's like, he was so cool, but I get it. He Obi-Wan avenged Qui-Gon, so it made sense, but still, you're like, oh, that guy was badass.
Of course, we have to get a whole second movie full of Senate bull... great.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah.
Anyway, the scene is phenomenal. I've seen it so many times. It is just a great example of what they could do with lightsabers and in the modern.
And they stepped up. I mean, and look at Force Awakens, like that fight sequence between Rey and Kylo.
Yeah.
Like, man, that was good.
Yeah. And obviously, yeah, they know what they're doing. But the prequels, obviously, very disappointing for most people. But the action sequences were pretty cool.
Yeah. I think the only saving
grace
of those,
George Lucas's accountant.
Yeah.
even the lightsabers fight in Sith.
Yeah.
Like on the volcano planet.
Yeah.
That
absolutely
was a good fight sequence, too. And then that was it. There's nothing else to talk about with those movies.
Yeah. Definitely.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I don't think I made this one bad enough.
Wait, we can end on a high note? No. Here, hold my beer.
Yeah. So, okay. Well, I guess we'll transfer. We'll shifting gears.
Yeah.
Because everything's been pretty action oriented up to this point. So that I will be the one that screws all that up.
Woo!
So my next movie, and I guess probably based on time, our last movie, is from 2008. And it's a movie about con men. I don't know if you guys have seen it.
Matt,
you might have seen it, but it's called The Brothers Bloom.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And it stars Mark Ruffalo and Adrian Brody, and they play kind of hipster con men.
Who directed that?
Ryan Johnson, right?
Yeah.
Did I say it right? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, Ryan.
Ryan.
Okay. Yeah.
So it was his follow-up to Brick. So
before
Brick, or after Brick, but before Looper,
yep.
He put out this movie, which I didn't think was all that good. It was disappointing, and part of, I think, what made it disappointing, so it wants to be this kind of quirky conman with the heart of gold. You're rooting for him. Rachel Weisz is in it as well. It never clicks for me, the movie. Like, it never, I get what it's trying to do, and I want to like it, but it just never really works.
I agree. I like the idea. I like the people that were in it, and Rian Johnson, awesome, obviously. He's going to direct Star Wars here, so, he's a great director.
And
I love Looper.
I love Looper.
Looper's awesome.
I love Brick.
Yeah.
And so, like,
but it didn't work. I agree.
It just didn't work.
No.
What did work was the first 5 minutes of this movie. It's a short film. It's on YouTube. You can go and watch this and then bail on the rest of the movie and you will be fine. But this opening scene is basically the origin story of how these two guys became con men.
Are they brothers?
They're brothers.
Okay.
It's called The Brothers.
That's
Bloom.
What I thought. Well, like, sometimes, we're as thick as brothers,
right?
You know.
That's the saying. Thick as brothers.
Thick as brothers.
Yes, I believe. Yeah,
that's the way that works,
cliche.
Right? Thick as brothers.
So, so this opening scene, the brothers are 10 and 13, and they live in this kind of like quaint small town Americana, like Norman Rockwell threw up, and and they're just kind of not fitting in, and they want to fit in, and then figure out this way to kind of con the kids around them, and it's got this narrating sequence that's laid over it, and it's just like full of energy, but it's also like cute without being cloying, and it's just and it just really crushes it, and it ends up kind of ruining the rest of the movie
because it's so good,
because I spent the rest of the movie saying you made the wrong movie. Like, go back to the kids, because the kids were great, and like, I want to see more of these kids doing that sort of stuff. Like it was just so charming and smart and funny, and again, cute without being cutesy. It's such a great scene when they're running this con on the town, and it's got this great moment where, like, you think they, like in all of the great con movie scenes, where like you think the con men have lost,
right,
and then you find out that, like,
they're already three steps ahead.
They lost on one end because it helped them win in a much bigger area elsewhere. And it's just such a great scene, and it just never, the movie never reaches the same heights as its first 5 minutes, and that's a shame.
Go watch Paper Moon.
Oh, Paper Moon.
I mean, come on.
Totally. I even like Matchstick Man.
Matchstick Man,
that was good too.
You
know, another good con man movie is Digstown.
Never seen it. What's that one?
Yeah, it's a boxing and a con man movie.
Ooh.
And James Woods and Bruce Dern.
Okay.
Lou Gossett Jr.
Did he win an Oscar? Didn't he just win one? Didn't
Bruce
Dern just win one?
I don't think he did. He was up for the one in that Will Forte movie.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Which was black
movie
and white.
Yes, it was a good movie.
That was good.
Anyway, this Brothers Bloom scene, it's available on YouTube like all of these scenes are. And this one was released to tease the movie. So like it's,
oh, really?
It's still on YouTube for you to go watch. And so,
oh,
it's,
so it's a legit full.
Yeah, you get the whole opening scene, okay, all the way up to the beginning of the credits. Yeah. And it's totally worth it. And it really, it's like a short film. Like you get an entire encapsulated story about these two characters in 6 minutes and then it's done. Don't, you can probably save yourself time and not watch the rest of the movie. You'll be fine. And honestly, I think it's probably of all the scenes that we've discussed, I think it's probably the best one. Cause
it might be.
Cause it tells an entire story,
yeah,
too.
Yeah,
so it's
like
you
a
know,
short film.
Yeah, it really is like a short film and it's just delightful.
But do they have lightsabers, Tom?
Hang on.
Hold on.
They use pixie sticks as if they were cigarettes.
That's pretty cool.
That's pretty
that
cool.
Old chestnut.
Like I see the
cool
kid, like he's holding something like, you know, like he's an old timey, like con man.
Gangster.
He's got this thing, and I'm like, are they having them smoke? And then you realize he's got a pixie.
That's
like,
awesome.
He like flicks it to the ground to like make his point, and you're like, that's a pixie stick.
Yeah.
That might be the coolest thing I've ever seen.
Do you guys remember a candy cigarette?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
I from the Five and Dime.
I saw those the other, like when I was on my vacation.
They yeah. Still make.
They do if you're on an Indian reservation. We stopped at a gas station on an Indian reservation.
Oh, man.
And I was like, candy cigarettes. Like, I almost bought them just
to have them.
Come on, kids, smoke up.
That is hilarious. At a time where you could make candy that encouraged smoking.
Yeah. Yeah.
And made
no,
it
man,
cool.
It's cool. The really good ones, the tips were had a,
tips
little,
had a little red on them.
Little yeah. red on them, yep. So they looked like you were.
That's right.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
So,
do you want to do our honorable mentions real quick?
Just breeze let's through? Save them in case we do another
okay,
one of these.
Right.
So, yeah. Do you want to create a poll on the League of Show
yeah.
Shares group? People can vote for their favorite best scene from a bad movie. We'll come back next week and tell them what won.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah, let's do that.
So, go to our League of Show Shares page on Facebook and participate in the poll.
We'll yeah,
get
so
that
we'll
poll
have
for you.
Rocky Balboa versus Tommy Gunn and then Superman catching a plane.
Mine was the lightsaber scene from The Phantom Menace and the warehouse scene from Batman, the Superman.
Yeah, and then mine was Brothers Bloom and the plane crash scene from Knowing.
Yeah.
So maybe we'll even post the scenes so people
yeah.
can watch them. And, you know, we'll put the poll, and in the comments we can put all the scenes.
Yeah, yeah. So, that's a good idea.
So anyway, you can go there and check that out by the time this episode is live. So I guess that's it for this one. We will go around the table and people can say where to find them.
This is Joe. You can follow me on the Twitter at JoeyButts, BUTTS21.
This is Kevin. Follow me on Twitter at Kevin R. Brackett.
And this is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at Facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. You can find us online at Facebook.com/Real Spoilers or on Twitter at Real Spoilers. You can join the League of Show Sharers group on Facebook as well. Find us on iTunes, rate, review, subscribe, or wherever podcasts are sold. And by sold, of course, we mean given away for free. So that's it for this time. I have no idea what we're doing next week because there's even fewer movies opening next week. So who knows? Maybe we'll come back with more of these. So we don't know. So, and I don't even have a catchy little outro because we didn't have a movie to base it on. So I'm just going to be lazy and tell you that until next time, you've been warned.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.